support here and the world since we crossed border lines. It's the best day of its kind. A little gloomy, but it's still the best day of its kind. We're so glad you turned your radio on, but we have three socially distancing people. So we'll see how this works. We don't want to make sure they don't hug, they don't yell, they don't...
No kisses.
No kissing.
No kisses, just hand hearts. But you won't hear them because the service is done only by the three of us, so there is no cross-contamination. And if they want to talk, they can talk outside. So we are very pleased that you are here.
This is a first in all these months.
And it feels good to be able to have somebody to talk to.
It
other
feels
than
good to see other people.
It almost feels like there's eyes fixed on us.
Yes. We know that somebody's actually listening. But we welcome you to our Savior, and we are here to worship.
I didn't hear from mine. Okay. And as Shiro indicated, we are here at our Savior. You've been hearing the prelude. Be thou my vision, choral selection with instruments and organ. Part of my collection of over 3,200 selections of Christian music in all genre, except that wild, wacky stuff. Hope knows what that is. And so does Scott Pike, by the way. Anyways, so this is a mixture, a hybrid like we do in-house of different kinds of music until we can raise our voices together in the household of God. I hope you know that this is a special Sunday. You have tuned us in or this podcast on a special Sunday. You ask yourself, what will that be? It is all Saints Sunday. Some traditions call it All Souls Sunday. That imaging of souls from when I was a kid, I just rejected because that gave you Casper the Friendly Ghost. No, it's All Saints, for that's the word used in the New Testament. And we'll talk about that later. But anyways, I have for 50 years of ministry referred to the Sunday after Easter as the second Easter. That is to say, the first one proclaims Christ risen, grave empty. The second Easter proclaims our resurrection because of Christ's resurrection that preceded ours. You see the sequence? Number two follows number one. If Christ was not raised, then we shall not be raised, is what the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15. We believe that, and we trust God's word. So our gathering hymn this day, now it's lengthy. My wife looked at how long it lasts, 5 minutes and 35 seconds. It's by Alabama, and it's Because He Lives. If we think it's boring you, we'll stop it. But the Gaithers wrote this some 30 years ago. And we sing it at our Savior in the repertoire of our worship.
Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds my future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. Because He face to all fear is gone, because I know He holds my future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon, an empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. That calm assurance this child can face uncertain days, because He lives. And then one day I'll cross the river, I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as day gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory, and I'll know
was just thinking this morning when I was eating breakfast at my home. I hope people think that when they turn on this broadcast, that it's more than just listening to a service. That's passive. I hope it's you're worshiping with us in the service. And while the building is nice, I can worship God anywhere as long as I'm in tune with God. And I always tell our Wednesday morning Bible study, I said, I'll meet you in worship on Sunday at 8:30. And it's because of Tony and Dale George. We can say that today. They are our sponsors. Tony and Dale are virtually neighbors to me down Craft Road. And they arrived on our radar screen because he identified himself to us and sent a support check to sponsor a broadcast and then a second broadcast. So thank you, Tony and Dale. They were former members, active in the early days of Pastor Ruff, and have identified themselves, as he said to me in his email, for several years. He's listened to this radio broadcast, and that's what we can't see. It's invisible. Thank you both for sponsorship. Okay, we're here to worship. Let's get it done. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
I didn't hear the congregation. You can't talk. Just don't sing.
I told them they couldn't talk.
Okay, let's try it. Oh, they can talk. They would do it anyways. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to hear somebody. The love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Oh, the throngs. Confession. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, in whose image we were made, who claims us and calls us beloved. Amen.
Amen.
Holy One,
we confess that we are not awake for you.
We are not faithful in using your gifts.
We forget the least of our siblings.
We do not see your beautiful image in one another.
We are infected by sin that divides your beloved community. Open our hearts to your coming.
Open our eyes to see you in our neighbor.
Open our hands to serve your creation. Amen.
Amen. So, beloved, we are God's children. And Jesus, our beloved, opens the door to us. Through Jesus, you are forgiven. By Jesus, you are welcomed. In Jesus, you are called to rejoice. Let us live in the promise prepared for us from the foundation of the world. Amen.
Amen.
Hymn of praise this day is a traditional one, trying to do the hybrid here. Holy, holy, holy. Choral selection with full orchestra.
Holy, holy, holy.
It gives me such warm fuzzies. I've been singing in since 10 years old in youth choirs in my church through high school, college, no opportunity. And then once in the parish, got to sing all the time in choirs. So we look forward to that day. Salutation, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Hope will lead us in the prayer.
Almighty.
Turn your mic on. Turn your radio on. Turn your mic on.
Almighty God, you have knit your people together in one communion in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Grant us grace to follow your blessed saints in lives of faith and commitment, and to know the inexpressible joys you have prepared for those who love you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen. Cheryl.
Our first lesson comes from Revelations, chapter 7, selected verses. After this, I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen."
Amen.
Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. The one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of water of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The song comes from 34 selected verses. And our antiphon is, "Fear the Lord, you saints of the Lord. For those who fear the Lord lack nothing. I will bless the Lord at all times. The praise of God shall be in my mouth.
I will glory in the Lord.
Let the lowly hear and rejoice.
Fear the Lord, you saints of God.
For those who fear the Lord lack nothing. Proclaim with me the greatness of the Lord. Let us exalt God's name together.
I sought the Lord, who answered me and delivered me from all my tears.
Look upon the Lord and be radiant, and let not your faces be ashamed.
I called in my affliction,
and the Lord heard me, and me from all my troubles.
Fear the Lord, you saints of the Lord,
for those who fear the Lord lack nothing. Fear the Lord, you saints of the Lord. For those who fear the Lord lack nothing. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear the Lord and delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are they who take refuge in God. Fear the Lord, you saints, God. For those who fear the Lord lack nothing. The lions are in want and suffer hunger.
But those who seek the Lord
lack nothing
that is good.
O Lord, you redeemed the life of your servants, and those who put their trust in you will not be punished.
Fear the Lord, you saints of the Lord, for those who fear the Lord lack nothing.
Our second reading comes from 1 John chapter 3. Selected verses. This is one of the shortest ones I've had.
Yes.
See clip. What love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this. When he is revealed, we will be like him. For we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The gospel reading for this All Saints Day is always the same. You can set your Bibles and your clocks to it. It is from, as I explained to the Wednesday class, this is one of two sermons that Jesus gives. Matthew presents it on a mount. Luke, having a different view, says it's on the plain, flat. They are not word for word similar. This one is more spiritualized. Luke is more concrete. You get your Bibles out, you'll see what it means. It's a text that I use, and it's appointed for funerals. And that's why it's appropriate for this day. From Matthew 5, beginning with the first verse. Glory to you, Lord. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak, and he taught them this, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they're going to see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you, persecute you, and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice, be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, Christ. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, God's grace, God's mercy, God's peace be with us this day. Amen. Last week I let you in behind the scenes of how a pastor formulates his sermon.
last week, the
Lord got me up at 3 o'clock and said, no, Don, you're not going that direction. You're going to do this one. That's the one I preached. But I never wrote it down, so it wasn't exactly that. This time, what I worked on last night, I changed from Wednesday's Bible study to become the one that it is today and probably different from the one I thought I was going to do this morning. So let us start the journey and let us begin. Kind of give you some history. In the reading of the lessons, we'll talk about me after the first two readings. Revelation. Take you back if you've got your printed text in your e-letter or mailed directly to you in U.S. Postal Mail First Class, raise to you the words out of Revelation 9 and 17. After this, I asked the class Wednesday, who's the I? Because it's not God. It's John. Who's John? He's not necessarily John the Gospel writer, not necessarily the epistle writer, but we call him John of Patmos, P-A-T-M-O-S. That's an island. It's off of Greece. Get a map, look real close, you'll see Patmos. If you take a tour through the Mediterranean Holy Lands, you'll see where that was, where John was in exile, as best we archaeologically have found. As he looked, he wasn't on LSD, he wasn't tripping. He has a vision. It's not literal. No millions of people came down on the beach of Patmos. A vision. God uses visions. Read your Bible. You'll see that. John received it. Revealed to him, right? Revelation. A great multitude. Nobody could count. From every nation, from all the tribes, all the peoples, all the languages. You see, God likes diversity. Most of us like to get in a rut, pull the blanket in over us. You know, I grew up in Pittsburgh, not really seeing a real black African-American, because my grade school was all white, because our community where the mafia lived, the Italians around us, they protected and made a color border to keep the African-Americans out. It was only in high school that we were presented with diversity. High school was over half black. There's going to be great diversity when you and I wake up in heaven. That may shock a lot of white supremacists if they make it. A gathering for one purpose. It's not a purpose like in today's world of protests, and I want this, give me this God. No. We're the beggar. We're not the one who dictates the orders for God to follow. It was not a political candidate that they gathered to see. No, John says, what I saw were people standing around with palm branches, waving them. You remember the palm branches in the Gospels of Palm Sunday? They were waving it because Messiah Jesus is coming into town to claim his kingship. They mistook it as an earthly king. Now we're in the domain of the kingdom where Jesus resides. And they're falling on their ground, their faces. Can you imagine people so moved by the emotions? Figuratively speaking, because it's not literal. Singing, amen, blessing, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, and might. Let me point out to you that that sevenfold blessing is not accidental. Book of Revelation is full of symbols of numbers. The number seven on these attributes describing about God is a whole complete number, divine. Seven. Look at many churches. If they can afford it, and the memorial gift they got, gave them a candelabra of seven candles. Seven is a number attributed to the divine, to God. Symbolism in the church, in all kinds of ways, seven. people talk about Lucky Seven, but you're thinking about, you know, slot machines. I'm talking about seven as it relates to God. And then one of the elders indicated, after asked the question by John, who are they who come out of this? They come out, who are these people? They're the people who came out of the great ordeal. Let me pause there for you. What's the great ordeal? In Scripture, we call that the tribulation. Now, most happy Christians don't want to talk about a time coming, but it's coming, and I dare say it's on our heels. When everything's going to be turned upside down, violence will abound, sin will abound, murder, destruction, and disregard for laws, people, and human life. Chaos. Sometimes when you wake up, you might think, we're there. Oh no, it gets worse. Believe me, when it's the last one, it gets worse. There are people who went through this great ordeal. They washed their robes. They made them white in the blood of the Lamb. I love that phrase. I use OxyClean at my house. Do you use OxyClean? If I get a blood stain on something, I put OxyClean on it, spray it, mix up a cup, put it on, and then put it in the laundry with OxyClean. It takes stains out. That's their motto. I think Jesus is the biggest OxyClean around, because he takes things of you and I, our sin, our blood-stained articles, and he transforms you and I into something precious, holy, in the sight of God, now ready to enter into the presence of the Lord. I don't have to go through purgatory. Luther would say, I support that. My purification for all my sins in this world is by Jesus Christ, the blood of the Lamb. And all Protestants would say, amen. So we understand it's complete done, once forever, cleansed in the blood of the Lamb. And he also speaks, there'll be no more hunger, no more thirst. Sun will not burn you, scorch you if you get sunburned. You get sensitivity to sunlight. Because the Lamb is sitting with the shepherd on the top of the pinnacle of heaven. And God, I love this tender image. And it'll be repeated in the book of Revelation if you've read or studied it in your personal reading. God will wipe away your tears. Now my image, and I've shared this before, is God sitting next to me on the curb with my empty beer bottle in a bag. God, Jesus, puts his arm around me and says, okay, Don, it's not that bad. I'm here. And we understand he wipes away our tears. And better yet, the source of our tears. Because in the parousia, the second coming, there's no more human sin. God has scourged it, taken it right out of this existence we have known as home. Make sense? Okay. Second reading, real quick, is one that usually kind of provokes some people. It deals with saint. The Apostle Paul talks about saints in the text. And we understand that saints is part of our language. In the Roman Catholic Church, it speaks about, microphone. See?
People must have snoozed up.
Microphone on. Thank you. Cheryl Dorsbacher. It's embarrassing in front of this crowd in front of me. Myriads of myriads.
Maybe it's the good Lord telling you something.
No, he's not cutting my cord yet because he came at the message. So anyways, the second reading is the introduction of a word that has separated Christians because of denominations. I like to refer to it as I analyze that as there's an ecclesiastical definition of a saint. There's a biblical definition of a saint. Okay? Ecclesiastical, if you don't know the word, ecclesia, comes from the Greek, from which we get church. It's the church's definition of a saint. And of course, the Roman Catholic Church, being the only church, the monolith church, gave us a definition that saints were people who got certain credentials and got canonized to be a saint. The biblical tradition with Luther and the study of the word takes us back to phrases like 1 John 3. It's the passages, we are called children of God. The reason the world doesn't love us is because it didn't love the Father. We have been washed, as the Revelation text says, to be like Christ. So we don't have the same values. We don't act like them. I could tell you that from being in college in a social fraternity, when I experienced a deeper faith in Jesus Christ, everybody thought I was strange. And I was. Well, I'd rather not use the word strange. I was different. Different orientation than the one of the world. So, consequently, the saintness of us is a position given to us by Jesus Christ. We are put into that posture. We are called to be God's children, and we move on. So we will be like him. Reference 1 Corinthians 15, if you're familiar. Paul says, Christ, as Christ was raised from the dead, we shall be in like fashion. He the first fruits, then we shall be changed like him at his coming. That in mind, understand, we're going to go through that metamorphosis that I've done with caterpillars to butterflies. We are going to be changed. I'm not going to be blind in my left eye. I'm not going to have arthritis. I'm not going to die of cancer or whatever you're dealing with. Understand, it's all left here. And in that metamorphosis, miraculous as God has given us in the symbols of science, nature, this is going to be whole and complete. Okay, partition. Going to take you into the last part, the gospel, because it's so familiar, the gospel. Most people say, oh yeah, I know, just read it and get over with it. I'm going to take you into a different level, see if this relates to today. In my history, for those of us here in house and those at home who are born before 1950, for those of you who listen on the radio who are after 1950, you share this same history 98%, if not 100%, with me. You ready? How many presidents have there been since Truman? Everybody knows, youth know, you Google it. I Google it. I printed it off. I have evidence. There have been 12 presidents. Okay? As a nation, we've been blessed. Not one was without blemish. If you want to see the list, go to Google. Google knows everything. Not one of them was without criticism. Not one of them won over the hearts of all Americans. So it's usually after they died, like JFK. The very nature of our system at its roots is adversarial. It makes us enemies. Each political campaign comes with high and dire threats by their opponents. My journey at age 10, as I came into my adult brain, as psychologists say we do, age 10, I became aware of the things around me in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. There was a campaign between Richard Nixon and John Fitzgerald Kennedy, who of all things was a Catholic. And remember in the campaign used against him is, he's going to take orders from the Pope. Boy, we'll pull anything out of our toolbox, won't we? And yet it was Kennedy who
who said timeless words, "Ask not what your country can do for you." We have to hear that again. But what you, every citizen, 350 plus in America, legal or illegal, what you can do for your country. We can't connect the dots with after his assassination if he didn't die. The political storm was growing on Kennedy. He did not want to invade into Vietnam. And the war powers and the money behind the powers in this country wanted war so they can sell more bullets and guns. We called that the military-industrial complex back then. Consequently, when his assassination took place, for whatever conspiracy you want to choose out of A, B, C, D, or E, he died. And I became really desolate, giving up, like, how can this be? And you know, remember, for those of us at this age, we were in a dark place. We were in the midst of a Cold War. Now, kids and those 20s and tweens and all them have followed us. They don't know what a Cold War was. But if you did the practice drills in your school, like I did in grade school, you had to climb under your desk, hold your head, ready for a nuclear bomb to drop in Pittsburgh. Ponder that one. Grow up, baby boomers. That's what we lived. Obviously, things calmed down. But the next president on the horizon, besides the enemy of communism and the red, was the realization that there's more things going on. And it made me kind of, I guess you could say, cynical. Made me realize, after Kennedy and LBJ, and a war that Kennedy would have opposed and LBJ ran with, no matter what America wanted, it seems like there were powers and forces moving that we did not as a population want. Oh, well, those are not tears of history. Those are just life-teaching events. And I went to college. Yeah, I did. My major was political science and business administration, but I minored in history because I've always loved history. When I came out of college, I looked around the political scape of America, and I was disengaged. My parents were never engaged. You know, as they told me growing up in a house, I don't even know what party they were. Once Dewey lost, they never voted again. That was the surprise victory of Truman over Dewey. So that goes back away. Understanding that, you know, disappointments and don't get what you want. Come on. I go back to Martin. Luther, that is. You and I live in two worlds. The world of the church, God, and the values of the kingdom that we should forthrightly live before the world. I live in the real world. I'm not floating like some angel, lofty above others. I am rather rooted to know how politics works. It's real. But we must participate. You've heard the slogans, and the Democratic Party encourage you to vote. Hey, vote because people's lives made it possible for you to vote. And understand that when we turn now to the Beatitudes, I'm going to tell you how many of our political people actually understand the Beatitudes. You ready? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you because you utter all kinds of evil against you. Rejoice! Party time! Be glad! Because you fit in with the school of the prophets. The rewards don't come in this world. The politicians may promise you pipe dreams. The reality is going to be different. I said this in, well, I've been saying it longer, but not everybody's known that. 2016, before the elections, I say, regardless of who's elected, whether it's Tuesday or a month away, God is still king. This is All Saints Day. We're a people with a purpose. We are God's people. And we claim that identity and renounce the world with all its enticing to do for ourselves rather than to do for our country. May the God of grace, who abounds wonderfully in mercy, forgive us as a nation and keep us on God's path. Amen. How's that for leaving my outline? Our hymn of the day for all the saints of the nation. Thank you.
affirm together our faith in the risen one, looking forward, as the third article says, to our resurrection. Together, let us confess. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We continue with prayers. Hope, lead us, please.
Longing for Christ's reign to come among us, we pray for the outpouring of God's power on the church, the world, and all in need. Lord of all the saints, we praise you for evangelists and martyrs who sacrifices witness to your gospel across time and space. Inspire us by their courage to carry our faith to new people and places around us. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Lord of every place, the universe proclaims your greatness from generation to generation. Bless the work of naturalists, conservationists, and park rangers who train our attention to the wonders of the world you have made. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Lord of every nation, guide this country, red states and blue states, rural voters and urban voters, young and old, as we share in another national election. Kindle hearts eager to understand our common needs and seek our common good. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Lord of every blessing, your Son's blessing came to those living with poverty, grief, hunger, thirst, and persecution. Shape our vision of the saints to match his own. Awaken us your call to serve all who suffer. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Lord of every venture, anoint with us the ministry spirit, missionary spirit of the early church. Bless all new missions of your synod. Empower testimony from the new communities of faith to shape a diverse witness to your saving power. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Gracious God, we add to our list, as we'll continue later, the baby newborn to Katie and
Zach.
Zach, I'm drawing a blank. I'm sitting here. Was born a week ago, 2 weeks ago, almost 10 days. He weighed 7 pounds, 14 ounces for you women out there. He was 20 and a half inches for us guys. He was cuddly. He was handsome. And so for them, as well as for the grandparents, God, remember them. We also remember the 3,792 people who were proven to have COVID yesterday in Michigan. Be with them in this journey, wherever this disease takes them, and all the others who are in this wicked way. Be with all your people that hunger, injustice prevails around them. Be with us as instruments of peace and blessing for the sake of our Son, Jesus. Hope.
Lord, of every time, countless are the multitudes you have called by name and gathered to yourself. Comfort us as we grieve those who have died in the past year. In faith, may we join with them in ceaseless praise. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
The parentheses there and hope, I didn't cure in. We have had here at Our Savior 2 deaths since the last All Saints Day. Don Martin, who we interred at Our Savior's burial last Saturday. And the other one was Lloyd Parker, husband of Lois Parker, for their grieving work.
Lord, for the family of Don Martin. Grant them peace, grace, and a vision of the second Easter, and ours is waiting to come. So receive our prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, until that day when you gather all creation around your throne, where you will reign forever and ever.
Amen.
Together, let us pray as our Lord taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
And the desire to save a few seconds, we're going to jump to the blessing. Cheryl, would you like to speak?
May the God of all creation, in whose images we are made, who claims us and calls us beloved, who strengthens us for service, give you reason to rejoice and be glad. The blessings of God, Sovereign, Savior, and Spirit be with you today, tomorrow, and always. Amen.
Amen. This is where I wanted to get to. Jesus Christ is risen today. You'll know it's Easter, and this is Second Easter. Sing me a hymn. Prepare for a dying world. Christ is alive.
Savior, the Doorsbachers send their love out to each and every one of you.
And even the whole congregation out there and the congregation in here.
You all have a blessed week, and we will see you next week when you turn your radio on.
Next week, you're going to have the praise team of our Savior, Scott Pike and Company. Oh, give us the dismissal.
Beloved of God, go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We conclude with a hymn.